Greetings to you all. Greetings to all those who are listening on live stream. Welcome you all in here in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You can see the title of my sermon is To Set the Captives Free. You know, what got me thinking about this, the last 2 weeks I've been running a school. I've been teaching police officers for 2 weeks now. And part of that course, it's a large course, and I asked for help. And I had three other instructors come in from different parts of the state, actually. And then I had one instructor, he was one to become, what you call an SME or a subject matter expert, so I can teach instructor level classes to officers, and they can go out and then teach other people. So I had to go through a process to get that. And this other officer, he wanted to go through their process as well. So he came in, and part of the process is you have to assist with the school, and then I have to write a review on him and tell him, you know, yay or nay and what's going to happen. And so he came in and he was teaching classes. And he was from a little town in southern Arizona. And he was a former Marine. I guess it's the right verbiage. I don't like to be called ex-Marines. So he was a former Marine and he had served some time over in Iraq, he told me about some of his experiences over there. He told me that he had some troubles with that. Came back. He had some PTSD that he had to overcome, and he was telling me he would go home at night and he would drink, you know, 30 beers, you know, to try and get rid of the pain. And you know, he got to the point where he was drinking so much, and you know, his words, you know, I wasn't drunk anymore. I wasn't feeling it, you know, and it wasn't helping. So he was, you know, stuck. He was captive to these demons, you know. And then he said he had to go out and had to get some help. He had to seek some guidance and some professional help. And he was able to help himself, and he was helped to get over some of those things, those debilitating things, those, you know, destructive habits that he was involved in. And I thought that was so... that was good. You know, a lot of people that they just sit back and they let those things, you know, destroy him, but he was able to overcome and ask for help. And so we're teaching this class, and I had to assign him several subjects to teach. And so I assigned him a subject, and it was all about ammunition. And in this little PowerPoint had, there's this video, and it's kind of a gruesome video. I'm not going to describe it to you. It's not the place, but it was taken in wartime, and it was taken over in Iraq. Yeah, this little video clip, and I didn't think anything of it. And the rest of the class is sitting there, and they didn't think anything of it. Well, this instructor, and he saw that video, and all of a sudden, all these feelings and emotions came back. And so I just kind of got quiet for a second. I looked up, and I see him, and he's I can see he's looking a funny look on his face, and he's trying to get this, and I asked him, hey, you need me to take over? And he said, he just kind of nodded his head, and then he stepped out of the room, and I took over the lesson, you know, and then he came back in a few minutes later, and he took over again. And so when the class was done, he got with me, and he said, oh, I'm so sorry about that, I just don't know what happened, and, you know, I wasn't expecting that, and sometimes these things get triggered, and I just kind of take a moment, and I'm like, hey, it's completely fine, it's all right, you know, I understand, you're wounded, you know, it happens. You know, and I don't want to shoot the wounded. You know, that's not my job. I'm not going to do that to you. And so I think the rest of the class completely understood. You know, they all got it. You know, no one held any ill will against him. You know, but he still, you know, struggles with that. And so it's something that's true of all of us. You know, we all have struggles. You know, we're all captive to something somewhere. So Jesus came, and in Luke, in the fourth chapter, this is Christ after his temptation, I believe. He came down and he went to the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day, I believe. And they gave him the scriptures to read. We're going to pick up in Luke in the fourth chapter in the 17th verse. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he was reading in Isaiah, in our scriptures, it's in Isaiah 61. First two verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And so he goes on to tell those people there, he goes, this is about me. I have come. I'm here to take care of those that are captive. I'm here to take care of those that are sick, to take care of those that mourn, to take care of all those that are bruised and broken. You know, that was what he came for. You know, when they were living in this day, in Israel, in this time, you know, many people were enslaved, as it were. You know, the entire nation of Israel was under occupation. You know, their whole country was essentially enslaved. They had to pay tributes and had to follow the rules of Rome. They were a vassal state. They'd been conquered. You know, they were all living in some kind of servitude. You know, and so captivity was just a part of life. They were under the Roman rule, even in their own laws. You know, there were captivities that held people. You know, they took their lepers, cast them out. They weren't allowed to be among the people. The lame were left on the street, had to beg for their food. There were people that were indentured servants. It's a form of slavery where, you know, if you get into debt and you can't handle your debts, someone will pay them off, but then you live your life under that person. And they even had laws where sinners were brought out. They were stoned for certain offenses. They could be killed. You know, they were captive to their condition, whatever it was. And Christ came. He came to reclaim them all. You know, under the Mosaic law, they were bound by these rules. They had to do these things according to their law. And they took them to the letter of the law, and they took it to the extreme. You know, and they put value on people. And if you were a valuable person, you were probably, you know, well off. You're probably free from illness. You know, they made all these distinctions of men. Made distinctions of women and children. You know, it's called the given to fate was the expression, which is a horrible expression. From where my understanding is, where it comes from, is back in these times, it wasn't against Roman law for parents to give their child to fate, which is something I can't hardly grasp or understand, but I guess it took place where if they didn't want the child, they could take it and they could lay it out by a river or by the woods or someplace out away from the city or away from their village. And they were giving the child to fate and said, well, if God truly wants the gods truly want this child to live, then it will live. But if they want to die, it'll die. You know, and so they was called, you know, giving them over to their fate. And that's kind of what the Israelites treated the same way. You know, if you were a slave, because you deserved it. You had done something wrong in your life. And fate had done this to you because you had sinned, done some evil, you were unwise, you deserved this. If you were handicapped, you deserved it. It was a punishment. Or it was a punishment on your parents, right? Gave birth to a handicapped child, then that was, you know, your parents did something wrong. They were evil. If you were poor, you deserved it. That's what you deserved because you displeased God. If you fell ill, you deserved it. You know? That's what they thought. They thought these things. You know, everyone deserves these things because that's the way God works. So he looks at your life and he's like, oh, you offended me. Curse on you. Given to fate. Now, about the only way to be seen as blessed is if you're a rich man. You were in good health. That was about it. They didn't look at women as being, you know, things of value. They didn't look at children as being things of value. You know, there were Mosaic laws where you could sell your daughters off, you could sell your children off to cover your debts. You could, you know, those laws change over time, but you know, this period in time was kind of rough. And they were not able to get out from under this. They were under it so bad. You know, they just couldn't see. So when Christ came, he was going against all of this. He went against everything that they knew, everything they'd practiced. That's why he was so known, and the Pharisees hated him, because he was going against everything they knew. So here's this woman here. I found a picture of her on the internet. She has leprosy. You see, her condition is taking her nose. Her fingers are missing, you know, she's had leprosy. So they would look at someone like this, and they all that, hey, you've done something wrong. There was no compassion, or very little compassion, very little understanding of these things. So they were cast out in their own colonies. If they were walking down the street and they saw someone coming closer, and they had to shout out that they were, you know, a leper, that they were unclean, and so that everyone could walk by. If they didn't do that, they'd be stoned. It was very, very harsh. You know, very little compassion. So Jesus came in, and he did the opposite. Absolute opposite of all of it. That's why he made such a big splash. It's why people could not, you know, the people that were in power, the blessed people, they didn't like him, and they plotted against him. He was eroding their very fabric of life, and the way they did business, and the way they conducted the affairs of their synagogues and everything. He just, because he changed everything. He said, you're no longer stuck under this law. You're no longer stuck in this captivity. I have come. I will show you a better way. So what did he do with the sick? Mark, in the first chapter, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. You know, and these were not, you weren't supposed to do that. It was forbidden. You could not touch a leper, especially if you were a rabbi. It was part of their cleanliness laws. They weren't allowed to do it. You know, you couldn't touch certain things. Above all, you could not touch a leper. Then you were defiled. So they shunned these people. Christ did the opposite. Put his hands on them. Healed them. Made them whole. The opposite. So what did he do for women? He treated them the opposite way as well. In John, in the fourth chapter, verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me drink. And so in Samaria, you know, my last time I preached, talked about the story of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. You know, that the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. You know, it was this understanding. We don't like each other. And so I kind of wondered why. So I went and looked it up. And so when Israel had been taken away off to Babylon, and the king came in and removed all of them. That was his ploy, was that he would make nations weak by splitting them all up. So he would move these people around as a way of, you know, taking you away from your base. And so he took a big chunk of the Israelites off to Babylon. Well, there were some that were left. You know, they left a few behind, you know, to maintain things. And given that, and then he, of course, brought other people in. And well, these people began to intermingle, the ones that were left with the people that had been brought in. So they still kind of had this Jewish or this Israeli heritage, but they were intermingled. And so when people from Babylon came back, the Samaritans kind of greeted them, like, hey, you're back. But the Israel that came back viewed themselves as pure, and they viewed them as, you know, defiled. So they shunned them. And they came in, and they were going to build a temple back in Jerusalem. And so these Samaritans came to help build the temple because that was their religion too. They wanted to be part of it. And the ones that had returned said, nope, you're half-breeds. Go back. So what did they do? Well, they went and built their own temple. Well, that just made the Israelites even more upset. So they viewed them as pagan because they'd gone and they'd mingled, intermingled with other people. And so there was just this understanding, you know, we all don't like each other. So they weren't even supposed to talk. Matter of fact, this road that Jesus walked down, people in Judah at the time, it was the shortest route between the Galilee and Jerusalem, I believe. But people would go the long way because they didn't want to go through Samaria. So Jesus went because he was different. And so he came in, he sees this woman, and he asks her for a drink. And so he's talking to her. And his explanation is, as he goes on, he tells her about, you know, how she's got multiple husbands or has had multiple husbands, and the one she's with now is not her true husband. And he tells her about her. And he doesn't condemn her, but he tells her this. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now this woman whom he was not supposed to have any contact with, this people who he's not supposed to have any contact with. And she went back, began to tell everyone what had happened. And to talk about Christ, what he'd done. And his disciples came and they were like, what are you doing? And upon this came his disciples in this 27th verse and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? And they marveled because they weren't supposed to talk to one another. They weren't supposed to have any dealings with Samaritans. But Christ was different. He came to change. He came to set the captives free. You know, this woman was captive. She had poor relationships. And yet he gave her hope. Treated her well. Treated her with respect and love and kindness. Now the opposite of what they had all done. What they had been used to. No different with the children. Matthew in the 19th chapter. Then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer the little children. Forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And he touched them. They were worth his time, his energy, his effort. They were worthy for him to pray over, put his blessings on them. Because he saw their innocence and their purity. And that is what he valued. Not their capability, but their heart. And he was trying to make this point. You've got to become like these little children. Pure in heart. He came and changed these things. You know, and it was these scriptures, you know, when Constantine took over the empire and he converted to Christianity, he began making laws. One of the laws he made was based on this. You could no longer give your children to fate. It was a capital offense. If you went and left your child out to die of exposure, you could be killed. He helped stop that. And even before that, these Christians that Constantine was looking at, you know, these just after Jesus had left and the apostles had gone out, you know, this was happening. these first Christians, they would go out and they would gather these children up because they had value. Even though they had children of their own, take them in, adopt them. Now, those that oppress us. Go to Luke in the 7th chapter. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. So the centurion was the Roman guard. Now, this was the man that was their overlord. He was their oppressor. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he built us a synagogue. So apparently he was kind, but still, he was there. He was their oppressor. Then when Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and unto another, come, and he cometh, and unto my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole, that had been sick. So even these people that the Jews were viewed as their oppressors, the ones they would kick out of their country if they could, Christ treated them differently. He honored the faith of that centurion. In the very next verse, they go to a city. They continue on their journey. And it came to pass, the day after, he went into a city called Nain. Many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. So here you have this scene where this cart is being brought out, and there's this dead man on it. He was the only son of this woman, and she was a widow. Meaning she had no husband, so her son was her only care. She was about to be captive. About to be resigned to an unknown fate, to beg on the streets. There wasn't much set up for old women to go do. They couldn't own property. So her fate was about to be sealed. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. He said unto her, weep not. And he came and he touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. He touched that cart. Another thing that rabbis were not supposed to do is have anything to do with dead things. They weren't supposed to touch dead bodies. And he came. He stopped the cart. He took care of that woman. She was going to go, who knows what was going to happen to her? She probably wouldn't live too much longer. She would have been captive to her fate. And yet Christ came. He saw a better way, to show a better way, to set the captive free. What about the poor? Luke in the 21st chapter. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. He saw also a certain poor widow, casting in thither two mites. He said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God, but she out of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. So most people would have looked at that at the day and thought, that's worth nothing. She only gave two mites, which is just pennies, if you understand it. Hardly anything at all. Didn't even compare to what other people were giving. And Christ didn't look at it that way. You know, she gave everything she had. And in his mind, in his way, that was more than all those others that gave. So he came and he changed this. You know, he gave value to the poor. Gave value to the sick. He gave value to the orphan, to the child. Gave value to the widow and the woman. Gave value to those that were lost. He came to set them free. He came to show us an example. To show us that he had the way. He was the way. He was the truth of how things should be done, how things should be handled. You look at John in the 14th chapter, verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And you got to think that Jesus got to be pounding his head against a wall after he heard this. Here he's been doing all these miracles, doing all this good, taking care of the widows, taking care of the sick, taking care of the hungry, giving mercy to the sinners. And they ask, we want to see God. And this is his answer. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath sent me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So all these things, this example that he gave, so this is what God is. I'm trying to show you God. I've been showing you God. I've been showing you what his mannerisms are, what his thoughts are, his desires are. Just to give value to those that are lost. To give hope to those that are hopeless. That was the example that he wanted. Continuing on, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whosoever ye shall ask in my whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. So he tells him that's what the Father is. God is love. God was in the Father, and he came about showing that the fatherless had value. The widows had value. The sick had value. They were important. Their souls were important. Their salvation was important. They were all bound in this depressing time. They couldn't get out of these situations. Christ came and he taught us. It's our job to help them. It's our job to go about and do good, to help the sick, to help those that are orphaned, widows, because he did it, because God the Father, that's his desire for us, is to do good and to glorify his name. So often, so many times, you know, we It's over and over again in the Bible, and you look in the Old Testament, they're good, and then they start to fade away, and they fall. They start worshiping idols, and then they have to have something come up, and they have to come back, and then just this cycle goes on and on. It happens in the Book of Mormon, too. It's just these cycles that go round and round. And you reap what you sow. Mosiah 5, the 49th verse. And again, he saith, if my people shall sow filthiness, they shall reap the chaff thereof in the whirlwind, and the effects thereof is poison. And again, he saith, if my people shall sow filthiness, they shall reap the east wind, and bringeth immediate destruction. Now behold, the promise of the Lord is fulfilled, and ye are smitten and afflicted. So here we are. This beggar who's been, I don't know why he's there. And I'm not sure what got him there. I'm sure he's made some choices in his life. He's unable to get along with people. He's unable to hold down a job. May have some addiction. I don't know. But he's a beggar before God, before us. He's reaping what he has sown. But we too are all beggars before God. We too are weak and sick. We too have need of his blessing, need of his word and his love. We beg all these things before him. And when Christ saw someone in this condition, it says he had compassion on them. He healed them. He set them free from their captivity. He changed their situation, their circumstance. Now they were no longer stuck where they were. And it was all an example to show us. We have to get people, help them. Patient with them. Patience with the sinner. Patience with those that are wounded and sick. Because we're all beggars before God. But he gives us promise. He gives us hope. Continuing on in Mosiah. Now it doesn't just leave it hanging there. 52nd verse. But if you will turn to the Lord with full purpose of heart and put your trust in him and serve him with all diligence of mind, and if you do this, he will, according to his own will and pleasure, deliver you out of bondage. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He cares for all those that are sick, cares for all those that are wounded. He cares for the sinners just as much as he cares for all of us. He sent his son as the example to go out and show, this is what you do with the hungry. This is what you do with the sick. This is what you do with the orphan and the widow. This is what you do with the brother or sister who is caught in sin. He came to recover the wounded. Matthew in the 18th chapter. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if it so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of the Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So he came and he ended this caste system and gave all value, because all have value, no matter what your physical station may be, no matter how sick you are, your soul has value. because he has shown it to us. We must therefore go and show it unto others. We need to go and recover those that are lost. We need to go and heal those that are sick. Have patience. Demonstrate kindness. Those sick people, those wounded people, may not have to look very far. Could be a husband. Could be a wife. An aunt, an uncle. A son, a daughter. Could be someone sitting next to you now. And because God went out and recovered them, and God gave them value, and God showed that to us, it's our job to go out and show it to others. Thank you for your time. I hope I've given you some hope. I hope I've given you direction. I hope I've given you what you needed to hear this evening. Thank you.